Jesus said, Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that if we are this morning poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness in you, you would fill us, comfort us, encourage us. We through your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you may have heard songs from this album, Adele 21. It was Rolling Stone's 8th best album of the 2010s, the last decade. It's an astonishing album, fantastic. And when it came out, it really, everyone wanted it, everyone bought it. It's famously inspired by the breakdown of a relationship, Adele, with her boyfriend. So the famous song Rolling in the Deep has got these words, apparently written hours after they broke up. I'm not going to sing it. You can. "The scars of your love remind me of us. They keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The scars of your love, they leave me breathless. I can't help feeling we could have had it all." She captures the feelings that resonate with so many people, and so it's a very, very successful album. Well, we're going to look at another collection of songs. It's not from Adele. It is the Psalms in the Bible. And these were also inspired by all sorts of events and feelings in people's lives, with God's inspiration behind it. And just for 3 weeks, we're going to look at different psalms. And today, Psalm 42 and 43. And as you heard them read out, I wonder if you were thinking, well, what did inspire these psalms? What was behind them? Who is it who says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Who said those words? Who was it who cried out, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" Verse 5. "Why so disturbed within me?" And not only once they cried that out, three times. Verse 5, verse 11, and verse 5 of Psalm 43 as well. Who was it? Well, it was a believer, an Old Testament believer, someone who believed that Yahweh, the Lord, was the one true, the only God. Look at verse 8. "By day the Lord," that's the L-O-R-D, capital letters, that's the word for Yahweh in Hebrew, "directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." He's a believer, whoever wrote this. But he is suffering depression. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" Depression is something that hits many people. 1 in 6 of us will at some stage of our lives be depressed. Melvin Bragg, famous radio presenter, said this: "If I'd had to do a regular job, I would have failed." And he speaks about his bouts of depression. "They were quite severe in both cases, severe enough to make me massively less effective, deeply unhappy, and frightened a lot of the time. But compared with people I now know, I was nowhere near the lower depths." Kristen Bell, who's the actor who voiced Anna in Frozen, she speaks of when she first suffered from depression in college. "I felt plagued with a negative attitude and a sense that I was permanently in the shade. I'm normally such a bubbly, positive person. And all of a sudden, I stopped feeling like myself." And Neil Lennon, footballer, manager of Celtic. Do the accent. "It's a bit like walking down a long, dark corridor, never knowing when the light will go on." And Christians are just as likely to suffer from depression. And we have an added dimension. And it's this, that the normal symptoms are there. So symptoms like lethargy, negative thoughts, feeling irritable, crying for no reason, sleeplessness, aches and pains that have no actual physical cause. All of that is there. But alongside that, trusting Jesus brings added pressure. Why is God so distant? Why isn't he answering my prayers? Why isn't he doing anything? And then, why do I feel like that? A sense of failure for having that kind of feeling at all. It's a vicious circle added to by being someone who trusts in Jesus. And so this psalm is going to help us today. If you're a Christian who trusts in Jesus, it's going to remind us that God is not far away. We may feel these things about him, but feelings are always a bad thing to build our faith on. As this little diagram shows, we build faith on facts. Facts lead to faith, and then feelings come from our faith or from other things. And feelings are all jumbled up. We build our faith on the facts, the historical facts of Jesus and his life, his death on the cross in our place for our sin, his resurrection to new life, bringing us an eternal hope that can never perish, spoil or fade. Those are the facts that we trust and build our faith in. And the feelings we have may come from that, we hope they do, but sometimes they are affected by all sorts of other things, including chemicals in our brain. And God has provided these divinely inspired songs here, especially for you if you suffer from depression in any kind of way. Let's just think about the psalm for a moment. It's two psalms that work together. So that chorus that's in verse 5, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" That happens in verse 5, verse 11, and verse 5 of Psalm 43. Added to the fact that Psalm 43 doesn't have a title. So look where it just says Psalm 43 in the Bible. And underneath, there's no little subtitle, but there is for Psalm 42 and Psalm 44. So it's very likely that these psalms are actually one psalm put together. When I said earlier, who sung a psalm like this? Some of you were going, I know, the sons of Korah. Absolutely, because it says that, doesn't it, at the top. For the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. Now, they were temple singers across many years, and so we don't know the specific person, but it's sung by an individual, isn't it? And the individual is far, far from Jerusalem. We know that in verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. So he's one of these singers, these temple singers, used to be able to go to the temple, but now somehow he's far away. And that's repeated again, more evidence of that. He's in the place of the mountains, verse 6. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, which is behind us, Mount Hermon. Mount Mizar means something like little mountain, and maybe that's a little play on words. That in fact, Mount Hermon is quite a big mountain, but compared with Mount Zion, where the temple is, it's small in his eyes. And so, verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Now, this is much more than just, oh, bother, I can't get to church this Sunday. Or it's lockdown, so we can't meet together in the building. This is much more than that. This is something that's going on in his heart and his soul. So let's look through the psalm and think about being depressed. And then let's come back and look again and think about fighting depression. So first of all, being depressed. And the first section, verses 1 to 5, my thirsty soul. This is like an introduction to where the psalm writer is. He wants to be in touch with God. And he says words which we could all say, doesn't he, in verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. We could all echo those. As those who trust in Jesus, this is what we, well, hopefully what we feel. And if we don't, we read these and think, yes, I want to feel that. Sadly, often in our lives, it's more like as the deer pants for a holiday, or so my soul pants for money, oh God. But we can read this and think, no. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. And we can put that in our hearts. The only water he's got, though, is his tears, verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night. His depression is worsened because he feels far from God. And he's taunted by non-believers. People, verse 3, say to me all day long, where is your God? Where is your God? Perhaps sometimes you are taunted by non-believers in your life who say that to you. Verse 4, he remembers things of the past which were wonderful with this festival throng at the temple. But unfortunately for him, he takes it in a negative way rather than saying that's a positive thing. And he takes it negatively and it just makes him feel worse, giving him a greater sense of isolation. And in these verses, we can see, can't we, how depression messes up the emotions and leaves us feeling awful. So imagine Betty said this: "I felt detached from the world around me. All emotions, love, affection, anger were gone. Actually, I can't say I had no emotions. I did, but they all seemed desperately negative. Most involved fear that I would never escape the situation." Now remember that these are feelings and they're not the facts. For a believer, these feelings really mess up our feelings about God. But it's not the truth. The truth is in Jesus and in his gospel, who he is and what he's done. And our feelings might be black and dark, but Jesus is the same. "My thirsty soul." He goes on to talk about his conflicted feelings, verses 6 to 11. Expanding on the things he's already said, he goes through a roller coaster of emotions. On the one hand, he knows God's greatness and love, the beauty of Mount Hermon's waterfalls, verse 7, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls, the beauty of that. And then that song in his heart, did you notice that? Verse 8, "By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." He knows the greatness of God and God's love. He does, doesn't he? But then, why is he abandoned? And the waterfalls remind him of that inner turmoil of being tossed and turned. He feels like he's drowning. "All your waves and breakers have swept over me." And verse 9, he sung the prayer in the night. "But then I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" Anxiety is such a common thing amongst people who are depressed. And there's physical pain. Verse 10, "My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God?" There's that opposition as well. And physical pain often comes with depression without any actual physical cause. Depression leading to despair. So Anthony says, Andrew, or any other A. I'm not picking on any person here, guys. It's just a name plucked out of the air. Arthur, that was the one I meant to say. "Everything to do with everyday life seemed like such hard work. I simply didn't have the energy to go to work, to see friends, to shop, cook or clean. It all seemed pointless. What was the point in eating when I didn't even want to be alive?" Even the beauty of a waterfall and God's love can't break in to these feelings. "My thirsty soul, my conflicted feelings, and my cry to the Lord." The next part, Psalm 43. "Do something powerful, God. Do something." Verse 3. And verse 2. "You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me?" Verse 3. "Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell." Thinking about Jerusalem in those days. He wants to know God's presence. He wants to be there again, knowing God. Close by. So the psalm speaks of being depressed, and maybe it echoes some of the feelings that you have or have had. But it also speaks of fighting depression. And remember, as we read through this, our Lord Jesus has sung these psalms. He sung them maybe in a formal setting, but in his heart he knew them and sung them. And they fit Gethsemane, don't they, so well, or the cross even. Has he hung there? Verse 9 of Psalm 42, he could have echoed these words: "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God?" Could be the cross, couldn't it? And remember that in Jesus, things have changed since the psalm was written. No longer do you have to go to Jerusalem to meet with God. Remember Jesus saying his true worshippers would worship him in spirit and in truth? And now that's the case. Wherever we are never far away from God. By his Spirit, he is with us. What wonderful good news we have in Jesus. And the psalm writer helps us to see how to fight depression as we trust in Jesus. He's doggedly determined. He keeps challenging himself. The refrain in verse 5 is not just giving up, is it, at all? It's asking the question, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" And giving an answer: "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. He's challenging himself. He's doing exactly the right thing, according to MIND, the mental health charity. By recognising and treating the symptoms and getting help, it's possible to overcome depression and prevent it coming back. It's possible to overcome depression and prevent it coming back. That's from MIND, the mental health charity. And one of the ways of doing that is to fight the negative feelings about ourselves, about others, and about God. And remember, these feelings are not true about ourselves, about others, or about God. They're stirred up by inner workings of our minds. And as we do that, fighting those negative feelings, let's remind ourselves what we have in Jesus. And you've probably missed this as we read through this psalm, because as we read through, the thing that hits us is the sadness. But the psalmist is delighting in God in this psalm. And you can imagine Jesus reading this or remembering it and saying it off by heart and reminding himself of the wonder of his wonderful Father. Verse 2, he's the living God. Verse 5, he's his Saviour and his God. Verse 7, it's his waterfalls. He's the Creator and he's the Sovereign. Verse 8, his love is involved in the psalm writer's life. Who is he? He's the rock in verse 9. The rock. And then verse 2 of Psalm 43, the stronghold. And verse 4, his joy and his delight. He's worthy of praise. Did you miss that as we read it through? It's easy to do, isn't it? When you next read these two psalms, and do read them when you're feeling like this, do read them. Remember as you read through to see the wonder of our Lord and God and the truth about him. And be like the psalmist, doggedly determined to challenge yourself. As he does that, he looks around himself. He looks around himself and he looks in and he looks back and he looks forward. He looks in, first of all. He looks in and asks the question, why, into his heart? Why, my soul, are you downcast? And maybe he's seeking to find the cause. And there can be a cause sometimes, not always, but there can be a cause like illness or stress, childbirth, a tragedy, or sometimes it can just be so deeply rooted the cause isn't known. So some famous people who've spoken about this, Gwyneth Paltrow, following the birth of her second child, she said this: I expected to have another period of euphoria following his birth, much the way I had when my daughter was born 2 years earlier. Instead, I was confronted with one of the darkest and most painfully debilitating chapters of my life. For about 5 months, I had what I can see in hindsight was postnatal depression. So it can come through childbirth or tragedy. Angelina Jolie, she suffered bouts of depressions in her teens and early 20s. Her mother died and she saw herself, following the death of her mother, sliding into another period of depression. And she says she fought it by making an action movie. Can't all do that, can we? My mother had just passed away, and I wanted to do something physical to get it out of my head for a while. I felt I was going into a very dark place and I wasn't capable of getting up in the morning. So I signed up for something that would force me to be active. Or maybe it's just something that's very deep inside. Bruce Springsteen, the Boss, had bouts of depression in his 60s that he says lasted for a long time. He says, it's like this thing that engulfs you. I got to where I didn't want to get out of bed. He says his wife, Patty Scalfer, her strength and love were key to him. She'd say, you're going to be okay. Maybe not tomorrow or today, but it's going to be all right. And he also got help with medication and therapy. So it's important to look in and ask that question, why? Why? And also to look back. The psalmist does this. He looks back and he looks back to things that were good. But it's important to try, when we're looking back to things that were good, to be half glass half full people instead of glass half empty. I know that's difficult. But to look back at the thing, and unfortunately the psalmist, he looks back at the festive throng, and instead of saying, yes, it was great, the Lord is wonderful, he goes, oh no. But let's look back at things and go, yes, God is great, and God has been good in my life. And he does do that in verse 8, doesn't he? He remembers that God is with him. He's the God of his life. And this can encourage us to persevere and keep going. Now, be careful if you're trying to help someone else with this. Be careful that you do it with love and care and affection and patience and time and a lot of listening. And you don't just turn it into a kind of pull yourself together thing, because that never works. Illegal words. So look in, look back. And of course the psalmist looks forward, doesn't he? Wonderfully. Put your hope in God, verse 5. For I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. It's a talking therapy, isn't it? He's talking to himself, I will yet praise him. But he's also reminding himself of something that God will do in the future. His determination, I will hope, I will praise. And for us, that means things like keeping coming to church, even, you know, virtually, even when we feel like not seeing anybody, maybe coming to Zoom, even Zoom coffee, even when you don't feel like seeing people. With the conviction that out there is a day when the cloud will lift by God's grace. And how much more do we look forward knowing our Lord Jesus and what he's done for us? Because beyond this, we know there's more. In it, we know there is his love, the depth of his love. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. We know that he knows what suffering is like. He would have been able to sing this psalm himself in it. He was forsaken for us, wasn't he? On the cross. We know in Jesus there's a certainty of access to God, that through what he did on the cross, as we trust in him, God is not far away and hidden behind mountains, but we have an open door to heaven. Let's approach the throne of grace with confidence, the writer of the Hebrews says. However we're feeling, whatever we've thought about God, however much we've shouted at him, as we trust in Jesus, that door is open. And he keeps a foot in the door as well for us. The Lord is our shepherd. And then there is the sure hope one day of every tear being wiped away. And that's spoken about, that sure hope of being with him. And maybe he'll return before we die, or maybe it'll be through our death that we go to be with him, trusting in Jesus, where every tear will be wiped away. Now, there's no magic wand in this, is there? It's not a, turn to Jesus and tomorrow it'll all be gone. And those of you who are believers and who have had depression know that. There's no magic wand, but the psalm gives us a God-approved way of fighting, of doggedly clinging on and turning to the Lord. So what have we learnt about depression from this psalm? Well, I suppose it's very clear, isn't it, through reading it and singing it, as it were, together, that depression is not sin. They're different things. It's not sin. It's being part of a broken creation. It's something that happens to people, maybe through an event or maybe just through some chemical thing in your brain. And for that reason, taking medication, going to the doctor is an absolutely good thing to do, isn't it? You do that for a broken leg. Why don't you do it for a broken brain? Do it. So it's not sin. It's part of being in a broken creation. And it's something to fight. Something to fight with every possible thing that we can, including the things that this psalm helps us with. Knowing God's faithfulness, knowing those facts about him through Jesus, and holding on to him as we struggle and keep going, with our eyes fixed on the future, when we know that one day we will be with him. Let's pray. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your word and your wonderful knowledge of us in our human condition. Thank you that our Lord Jesus shared this psalm and knew it and the feelings of it himself in Gethsemane on the cross, that desolation. And yet he has conquered that through his resurrection, and we look forward to the day when we will be able to experience in completeness that place where there is no crying and no pain and no tears, and every tear is wiped away by you from our eyes. And in the meantime, we pray for your help to be those who put our trust in you, determined that we will praise you one day. Thank you that you direct your love on us by the day, by day, and at night the song of your love is with us, a prayer to you who are in our lives, through our Lord Jesus Christ and by your Spirit. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.